James, give me
a massive boom, beat. Boom, 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 boom. So something just like that. Just a boom, boom, boom. But do you want me to give
you
an actual
give a beat?
Beat
or a bass line?
I can do beat.
Yeah, okay, you do a beat. How about you do the bass line?
Okay.
All
right, I was gonna riff lyrics.
My mad sugar do wah wah penguins. All right, I think I got this.
What the fuck? All right.
Gotta get down with the fucking F-U-8 rock checking, yo. Thank you for your contribution, Steven.
I cannot musically freestyle to save my life, so I gladly just stepped aside from
the finished product there. We should sing next time about the movie that we're watching.
I forgot
Why?
What movie we watched.
Yeah, wait, what?
We did that once.
What did we
it
watch?
It was Dragon Ball Z Battle of Gods. We sang
oh,
about
yeah,
that.
I remember that.
Did we watch a movie today?
I think.
It's the same day.
I can't.
It's the right day, but I feel like the last 3 hours have just been kind of a blur.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm Ryan. I know that for sure.
I think I'm James.
I'm Steven. Meet me at Montauk.
Wait, I thought I'm James.
No, you're definitely Michael.
That doesn't sound right.
No, you're definitely
That doesn't
Michael.
Sound right. Agree to disagree.
I think they've done some serious brain damage to him because you're not supposed to forget who you are, right?
It's only supposed to be minor brain damage. Like a heavy night of drinking.
Well, that's
or,
every night.
Or like a cave collapsing in on itself. A mine,
James,
if you will. That's minor damage, right?
James, our resident drunk. James, our resident drunk, had so few brain cells left over that the procedure just kind of wiped out the rest of them.
He's largely the same, though.
Yeah. Basically, it almost had no. In fact, it probably improved my brain function.
James, you wake up every morning not remembering anything, anyways.
Yeah, I'm just like, I think I've got to be somewhere.
He's just a frightened ball.
I wake up in a terrified state every morning.
Basically, this movie was based off of James' life, except he forgets not only his girlfriend, but his entire family and friends and everyone he knows, basically.
We have to re-explain this podcast every time he's on.
And we have to give him such a hard time to even appear, because he's like, I don't know you guys. I don't know why you're inviting me into your living room, but can you please leave me alone this time?
No, there's something familiar about you guys. I can dig it.
Yeah, because we do this every week.
It's because we're destined to be together, you know?
Oh.
Even though you don't remember us specifically, you're still attracted to us every time.
Yeah, well, that, and we show them the picture of, like, our, is it album art? Is that what you'd call it? The picture of the podcast?
Yeah, but we didn't even, that's not even a real picture.
Oh, you
there
guys thought
there was no rock.
We watched 50 First Dates, right? That's what we watched, that Adam Sandler movie.
I mean, that's related.
No, we watched Inception, guys.
That's also related.
Okay. I do kind of want to talk about Inception later, but first we can... I would like to see what you guys are up to lately, if anything.
You guys want to hear the haps on my life?
Yeah, please.
As of today, I got approved for an apartment.
Woo!
So I'll be moving.
Congratulations. Thank God he's not on my couch. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. No, I'll be moving in this weekend. So
he had somebody on his couch, actually.
On my floor.
On his floor.
Yeah. Where at? Oh, wait, don't say that on the podcast.
You want my address?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give that to you.
I mean, he's moving out anyway, so
that's true.
What's the point?
Well, now all of the listeners can, like, know exactly where Michael used to live. And
like a historical landmark.
Yeah, a landmark for them to visit.
Oh, man.
Like,
this is where the magic happened.
Get in the
this
Hollywood.
This is where they did From Under the Covers. This
that, is where they did that one episode.
Yeah, so I'll be moving this weekend, but in the time leading up to, while I was searching for places, I kind of called in a couple sick days at work. One for like my long day of just visit after visit after visit at apartment. And then the next day, because I thought there was a chance that I'd be called in to go sign the lease or at least submit the application. And that didn't happen until like late that night. So I kind of probably should have gone into work. But I'm glad I didn't, because I got a wonderful story out of my laziness. Basically, it was one of those days where you just don't put pants on for a really long time, like pretty much like the whole day. And I ordered a pizza. And they buzzed, and I had that dilemma of, well, I should put
like,
on
do
pants,
do I want
right?
to put the pants right, on? Right. Do I not want to put the pants on?
So I put on the pants.
Do I care?
I put on the pants, and I answer the door, and it's probably like a mid-40s, early 50s Mexican gentleman who English was clearly his second language. I pay him for the pizza, give a generous tip, and as he's walking away, I'd be like, hey, I have a question for you.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. What is generous to you?
On a $13 pizza, I gave him $18.
Okay.
That's
really
very generous.
Wow. That's,
yeah.
Crazy.
And as he's walking away, I say, excuse me, I have a question. He turns around. It is? And I'm like, so.
I feel like I'm there.
Was it like,
this is why you gave him such a big tip, so he can make fun of him later on, guilt-free. Yeah.
And so I ask him, be honest with me, how frequently do you get people that take, like, their pants aren't on when you answer the door? Because I almost didn't. And he gave me the most terrified look. He put up both his hands and started waving like, no, thank you. And started backing away. And I think there is one of two things that I think he thought I said, which was, I'm going to take my pants off right now. Or, could you please take off your pants? I think he thought one of those things, because the look on his face, it could not have been anything else. Like, I thought he was so scared. I felt not bad at all. It made for a great story, but
could it have been that you actually did say one of those things and you're just completely misremembering it, or you were just delirious?
No, I'm fairly certain in what I said.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going next, because that immediately reminds me of two things.
Okay.
One, I was in Mexico and I went to this burger place.
How did that remind you of Mexico?
I have no idea.
Why are we
and
still
yes,
in
James,
Mexico?
I was in Mexico.
Wait, I'm sorry. I just want to clarify. You were in Mexico.
I was in Mexico. Okay. So we go to this little burger shack across from this college campus that I'm staying at. It was like a high school program. And we're all ordering. And I'm like, I've been using my Spanish for like a day or two now. And it's all coming back. I'm getting pretty fluent again. So I ask for my burger in Spanish. And then I ask, hey, do you carry Dr. Pepper? Because I'm like, I don't know. I'm in Mexico. Maybe they don't have that here. And the waitress just gives me this, like, the same thing. She gives me this weird look and looks down at her pad and leaves without taking the rest of my order. Like, no answer. I was like,
what you don't know is that
Dr. Pepper is like a black market organ
like
seller.
Head of the cartel there.
She was like, he's with Dr. Pepper. Make sure his food is the absolute best.
El Dr. Pimienta.
The least amount of spit you can put in this food.
But
did I just say pepper correctly?
I mean, pimienta, sort of.
Pimienta.
There you go.
What is it?
Pimienta.
But,
is it an R?
Yeah.
Oh. I forgot to talk about this last week. This is going to take place of what I've been up to. But before I came back from San Antonio, like my last day in home, I was grocery shopping at HEB. And this guy walks up to me, and I'm like calling my mom. She's in another part of the store. I'm trying to like meet up with her before we get back to the cash registers. So this guy comes up to me as I put the phone up to my ear. He's like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, oh, do I know this guy? I'll just play along with it until I recognize him. Hey, I'm good. How are you? And I just put the phone up to my ear, and then he looks at me, and then he leaves. And I'm like, either A, I just... like through my face told him I don't know you, even though I should, and I just blew him off, or B, he thought I was someone and talked to me. And then I'm like, I still don't know to this day. So that's what's been going on in my mind.
Okay.
And then he called in a bomb threat.
So for me, in the past week, I have been continuing my quest to teach Los Angeles drivers how to drive correctly.
A noble quest.
Yes.
Fruitful.
Yeah.
Fruitless.
No,
yeah,
it is,
fruitless quest.
It's a quest that I embark on in vain.
There's no reward.
Well, I think there is a reward, but it is very much metaphysical in its shininess, trophiness. You know, it's not... No one's going to hand it to me. I have to kind of give it to myself.
Is it like you go to a lesser circle of hell when you die?
You know, it's not even about the afterlife. It's,
like it'll present itself in this life.
Okay. So I guess what I'm saying, I'm pretending right now, like it's a noble quest, but it's really just, to make me happy as I make other people mad.
Oh, okay.
So,
I got you.
Yeah. It's, if anything, I'm going deeper into a deeper circle for this.
Okay.
So case study, this past Friday, I was driving home from work and I was getting on the entrance ramp, to the 405. And the entrance ramp is two lanes that then merge into one lane, which then merges onto another entrance ramp, which then merges onto the highway.
It's like I'm there.
So it takes me a good 20 or 30 minutes just to get on this entrance ramp onto the highway.
Can I ask which highway?
I said 405. Yes.
Thank you. You weren't listening.
Thank you. You're right.
Now he's there.
And so there. We are basically at a dead standstill because of all this merging. And so, you know, I'm just kind of taking it easy. You know, I'm a Texan driver at heart. And so I leave, you know, the cars ahead of me are going forward ever so slowly. And I just kind of, you know, sit there because I'm in no hurry. There's no point to hurry up and wait. the lovely gentleman behind me starts honking his horn and flashing his brights at me.
Oh, he does sound lovely.
Yeah, he's super nice. He was like starting a party in the middle of the freeway.
hey, bro, come dance with me.
So what I do, I'm like, okay, this is perfect time to
educate.
Put my quest into action.
There you go.
I do not move my car forward. I turn around and look him straight in the eyes for a solid 30 seconds. What? I look him dead in the eyes.
Oh my gosh. I wish I really was there.
Do not move. And then we're, you know, as we're getting closer to the point where these lanes merge, he is once again honking and flashing his lights at me. And I stop again and I wave five or six cars in the other lane to go ahead of me.
That...
Oh, God, that made me feel so good. I loved that.
I love you.
That was a good night. Oh,
I want to give you a hug.
Thank you.
This is a good hug they're having right there. It's.
I can feel it. I almost knocked his glasses
also
off.
I got a new job. James, James, what's up with you?
I got a table, guys. Yeah. All right. Yeah, James, get in the table. Get in the table.
Yes.
That will probably be our first noise complaint we've had for this podcast. Exactly.
It'll be from future me.
I did. I finally got a table for my apartment. It's been like three or 4 months now since I moved into this place. And we've been slowly trickling in with the furniture. The chairs are nothing to be astounded by. But the table is rather nice for, like, I guess an IKEA quality table.
Yeah, it's...
It's sturdy. That's all you can ask for.
It seats six comfortably.
Wow.
You can fit four. A few more. Yeah. I mean, you can... This table, you can probably fit a few more on the
but
corners.
It's just but it's more elongated, yeah. You know?
It is more oval shape.
And we're just going to keep it that way. It comes with, like, detachable things, yeah. But fuck
you,
it. We're
you
just
want a
keep
dining
it.
Hall.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or what we did with it to break
exactly.
It in.
Yeah. We broke it in with a night of poker, actually.
I really thought you were going to say beer pong.
Well, that will shortly follow. No, we played poker. It was a great night. We had plenty of people over. It started a little late, but that's perfect because by the end of the game, everybody was tired and impatient, and I ended up winning $70.
Poker? I hardly even know her.
I don't follow.
It's like I'm there.
I don't follow. What does that mean?
You should follow me on Twitter.
Okay.
Then you'll follow.
Ryan, I just want to know... When you were looking a guy in the eyes for 30 seconds, what was the look he was giving you back? What was his immediate reaction?
Oh, well, okay. So I should say, I was looking at him for 30 seconds. He quickly broke eye contact.
Okay.
Yes.
Did he quickly stop honking?
It was temporarily, yes.
Okay. I really
he looked away out of pure shame is all I can hope. Yes.
I hope this becomes a thing because so many LA drivers.
Oh, this is not the first time I've done this.
No, I mean like watch this spreads viral.
Yeah, yeah.
What if like what if he was one of our first like ultra fans and he was just trying to get your attention?
Hey, I'm listening to you. I'm listening. You're
and,
on.
And
right
instead of
now.
Breaking eye contact, he was like, "Oh my god, I'm so
guys, we're jerk celebrities now.
Yeah, I know, right?
We have become." Douchebag Hollywood celebrities.
We've reached, I think, nice! The next level.
Only took us a year and a half of living
being
out here.
Humble to being complete jerkwads in traffic.
I have become what I sought to destroy.
So this movie was a good movie, right, guys?
Yes.
We got very good movie. Stories, right? Will, you got anything?
The movie, if you could...
No, he doesn't have any.
If you are...
We're just going to plow past Will.
If you just turn on this podcast without reading a title somehow, we watched Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind this week, brought to us by James McDoodles McAnally.
Indeed.
Did you call him McNoodles?
I said McDoodles, but
I like McNoodles.
I might have burped a little bit there and made it into McNoodles.
I have a cup of noodles right
I would
there.
Prefer to keep it McDoodles, but...
It's McNoodles
good one,
now.
McNoodles.
Yeah, it's McNoodles. I'm sorry.
All right.
That sounds like McDonald's just started serving Chinese food.
That really does.
They probably, you know.
Somewhere.
Yeah,
there's probably
in Asia, they probably do serve noodles at McDonald's. So there you go.
Make noodles.
James, why did you bring Eternal Sunshine for us?
Why? You dare ask me why?
I'm so sorry. He didn't mean it.
It's because it's a good movie. And I hadn't seen it in a while.
Did you forget the movie?
I think you need to clarify a reason beyond it's a good movie, because if I'm not mistaken, you brought us Troll 2.
That is true. That was more of a joke. Though
you,
I am,
can, you James,
I am
James
a fan
cast
of,
is a joke? Can you please take us more seriously?
Okay. I am a fan of
McNoodles,
bad...
can you please take us more seriously?
Well, now I'm not going to take you seriously. I am a fan of horrendously bad movies. However, this is not a horrendously bad movie. This is a very nice, very artistic... fun to watch movie that is pretty deep in terms of this whole relationship dynamic that basically drives the plot forward. One of the reasons I brought it actually was because this past couple of weeks I saw Her.
Oh, great movie.
It was fantastic. Spike Jones did that one. And it felt a lot like Eternal Sunshine to me.
It's pretty similar.
When I got out of the movie theater, I was like, you know what, that whole relationship thing, the birth and death of a relationship, basically, it reminded me a lot of Eternal Sunshine. And it's, except in this case, it's more of a cyclical thing.
Yeah.
You know, I actually think more Spike Jonze's earlier work, like Adaptation and Being John Malkovich, back then, he and Michel Ancel, the director of Eternal Sunshine.
Michel Gondry.
Michel Ancel is another Frenchman who makes video games.
This is the guy who makes all those cool Bjork and Chemical Brothers music
that
videos.
That was kind of the first thing that I saw of Michel Gondry's was the music video for Let Forever Be, which is a fantastic video. It's one of my favorites. And I think that Eternal
Sunshine... I'm sorry, I've got to cut you off. Michael, stop licking your... or sucking your fingers. You're only, not a barbarian.
Only two
you're
left.
Driving him wild, Michael.
Oh, God. It's just the sound.
Now that you said it, that's all I can focus on.
I know, right?
Like, I saw
I'm like directly across from the guy.
And I'm like, I'll just listen to what these guys are saying. But
God,
now I'm just...
God, you're disgusting.
Yeah, I was just trying to talk past it. So I was looking
I
at
know
you
were, but I was like, I can't.
All right. So we all know James has the weakest will.
Okay.
Of that.
No, Will.
No,
is
Will's on the
weak.
Couch. Crashed
Will
out.
Is very.
Will
weak.
Has the weakest will.
We have not let him eat in like, I don't know.
Do you guys since like the last left? Time we got together. Yeah. Anyways, I'm sorry, Ryan. How very rude of me. Please
so,
continue.
I believe Michel Gondry's work with music videos has really lent itself incredibly well to a story like this.
Right.
That is so. Internal and trippy and weird and stylish, you know, it's a perfect fit for him, basically.
He does such a good job of playing with the camera.
It's some really incredible tracking shots and special effects.
One of my favorite parts of this entire movie, at least visually, is when he's chasing, Joel is chasing Clementine down a street corner. And he gets to the end of the street corner, and it's the same one that he started at. And then he goes back, and it's the same one that he started at. It's just really an interesting... There are plenty of shots like that that kind of trick you.
And all the signs keep like going blank, and details keep disappearing as he keeps returning to the beginning of that
end. It's really subtle, too.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff, like in the bookstore where the books start losing their covers. Right. And
the color gets drained out of the world.
Yeah,
ever
like
so slowly.
Like you're kind of focused on the actors, but if you look off for a bit, you can see that things start disappearing, and it's really cool. Especially considering this movie's 10 years old, some of the effects were really—they're
pretty seamless.
Yeah, and
like they hold up. This movie could have come out yesterday, and I would.
Yeah,
I'd say, wow, Jim Carrey's looking really good for his age, and so is Kate Winslet.
She's still looking good
actually,
for her age.
Yeah, she does. So does Jim Carrey, actually. He looks really good.
They've got nutritionists.
Canadians don't age.
Hey. That's true.
Yeah,
isn't Kate Winslet? Is
she's
Canadian?
British. She's
British. That's what I thought.
I was only
shut the hell
to
up,
Jim
Michael.
Carrey, though.
Which
Jim Carrey's Canadian.
I could kind of. I don't know about you
that's
guys.
That's why he's okay. Now I get Anchorman 2.
What?
Good job.
Oh.
Good job, sir.
But anyway, yeah, another scene with some very cool visual effect is the one where Joel is supposed to be a kid and he's in his pajamas and he's hiding under the kitchen table. I was explaining while we were watching the scene that entire scene is done forced perspective. There's no CG or anything. It's all done just with tricks of the camera. And mm-hmm. I think that, I mean, The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings series all do that. The Hobbit, not so much.
They do a mix.
Yeah.
The
Lord
of the
Rings,
Lord
especially.
Lord of the Rings does a mix of forced perspective and CG and green screen. Yeah.
Right. But it's really cool I mean, this was done with practical effects and things that you can do without needing any sort of CG.
That's totally Gondry's style. It's not that, you know, they couldn't afford to do the CG or anything. That's just how he likes to do things.
Yeah.
And you can really tell the difference too. It's, you know, it doesn't necessarily look more realistic, but it really achieves, you know, a certain dreamlike quality.
Yeah, it drew me in. I probably said "whoa" out loud four or five times in this movie. Like, I don't know if I don't know if you guys noticed that, but every time they did a shot where like he's in the bookstore, he walks down towards the end of the aisle, and then he's in his friend's living room, and then the bookstore lights turn off behind him. I thought, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So when I first saw this movie, I think it was probably 2004 or 2005. So it was like relatively new to when the movie was out, and more importantly, I was pretty young, so it just kind of lost me and I just stopped really paying attention, I guess. And then watching it now, it is one of the better movies I've seen ever, maybe. So it had a pretty drastic jump as opposed to where I remembered it and then where it stands with me now.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those movies that you've got to be engaged the whole time, and it does a good job of keeping you engaged, more importantly.
Yeah, I noticed that this time around I didn't find any pacing issues with it. I thought I was compelled throughout the whole thing because they did the good job with creating character arcs for the lesser characters, the non-main characters, and that kind of broke up the second act quite a bit to really help it not feel repetitive
and even looped them back into the main storyline too.
Yeah,
it had been
with
so
Mary's
long.
Character. Yeah.
It had been so long since I watched this. I wasn't sure if I liked the alternate plot line, or I guess you could call it
the B plot.
I was like, oh yeah, I like all these actors, but I'm not sure if I remember liking this or not. And I actually think that it did a good, nice of accenting the overall thing, especially considering that Joel can hear them sometimes in his dreamlike state while he's forgetting.
It really ties everything together at the end. Like if Mary hadn't kissed her boss at the end and discovered all of that, the relationship between Joel and Clementine wouldn't have come back, and if what's his name from Lord of the Rings, Elijah Wood, hadn't gone off to Clementine, that also it wouldn't have tied up right, and she wouldn't have picked up on those cues for herself, because she was starting to realize for herself that something, you know, he was triggering
off
some memories that she never quote unquote had, but really did.
Clementine will remember that.
No, she won't.
No, she won't.
But on a
I guess on a more philosophical note, it brings up the question like, oh, wait, did you want to say something? Yeah, kind of.
That is a great question that it brought up.
I saw
up.
That face. You were like, mm-hmm.
James, that's the philosophical question it brought up. Wait, did you want to say
something? Did you want to say something? But we all want to say something, right, guys?
No, I love the theme, I guess, of the whole movie of you have two people that at one point wanted to forget one another. And then it seems they cyclically want to remember one or forget one another. Yeah, and then when they come to the realization that they've done that and then re-meet and keep doing it, that they don't want to jip themselves out of that experience, mm-hmm. even though they know it's destined to fail.
That's yeah. why I really love the final 5 seconds of the movie, basically, yes. just because of the implications that it gives.
Yeah, cyclical.
The repeating shot of them walking through the snow together.
But that, I mean, it begs the question, the whole movie begs the question, can, you know, relationships, can committed relationships last?
You can't, an adult, well, yeah, do you want to expand on that before I get to mine?
I mean, there's instances of it with Joel, I mean, of course there are instances with Joel and Clementine, but even between Mary and, I forget the doctor's name, Howard, Howard the Doc.
Howard the Doc.
Howard the Doc.
James, give yourself 2 points for that.
Yes. Oh, shit. I need to be he's keeping also, track of points.
But he's known in Mexico as Dr. Pepper.
But, I mean, even with Howard and his... Howard the Doc and his wife.
I haven't seen that movie.
That's the sequel. The much less critically acclaimed one. I mean, they're sort of in a not happy relationship, and it's all because of Mary and Howard's own misgivings. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, well, can relationships work, or are they just going to keep repeating, or are they always destined to fail?
I think another question that the movie brings up is, can you really erase someone that important from your life? Mm-hmm. If you've had this relationship, can you just... even if you had the technology, just make it never happen. And this movie's answer is no, because in two different instances, the relationship comes up again. First with Kirsten Dunst's character. Well, not really first, because that happens while Joel is remembering or halting the forgetting of his relationship. And then Kate Winslet is remembering it for herself. It's kind of like these clues. There's always these clues or triggers that are going to bring it back.
It's you can't change who that person is, basically. Mm. Because Mary at her core was still in love with Howard the right. Duck.
Howard the Duck. We all are.
Yeah. And I also like the idea that once the slate is cleaned, they're going to be attracted to one another again when they meet.
So yeah. I want to talk about the structure of this movie a little bit, because it is a little odd how we get them meeting at the beginning, supposedly, and then it cuts to seemingly a year later.
Right.
Whenever they have broken up and they're trying to forget each other. But what we come to realize is that that is actually a flashback to just a few days before, and that they had met a year previous to the opening scene, at least.
At the beach, right?
Yes,
right.
At the beach party.
Yeah.
And the first kind of clue you get is when he says, we met at this beach party. And you're like, wait, no, you didn't.
I was on a subway, right?
Yeah.
But then that kind of begs the question, was that the first time they met? Have they only been erased from each other once? And see, because there's one part specifically inside Joel's dream when they're talking in the bookstore. And she gives a speech about how she's just a messed up girl or something. Mm-hmm. And he says, I remember that speech. But she doesn't give that speech until after he comes out from getting his memory erased. Begging the question, like...
how many
instances? So that scene in the bookstore might be from another time that he is erasing her in the future.
Oh my gosh. I remember her saying that scene in the bookstore. What was the setting when she said it the other time? Forget like the linearness of it.
It was after she goes into his apartment and hears him listening to the tape of himself. like after everything is over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're out in the hallway.
Oh,
and
I want to say she
little...
says something, or maybe she's a sentence she says right before that is mentioned at another point.
Mm-hmm. Well, she says that same, yeah, that same thing.
Because if you erase it from her memory that she's previously had that thought, it's going to be a new thought to her every time. And if she feels the same thing, she's going to repeat the same thing over and over.
Although, Joel says, oh, my darling, Clementine, the first time he meets.
Well, what we know is the first time.
What we know is the first time. And then at the beginning of the movie, when they meet on the subway, he knows nothing about that. Yeah. So does Clementine just have a better memory?
Well, no, because she's other people have told her that, and she hasn't erased the memories of those people. I think since he associates that rhyme with her, that was erased with her memory.
Mm-hmm. Ah, perhaps.
Yeah.
You want to make a memory.
Good point, Steven. I'm going to give you 2 points for that and an additional point because earlier you mentioned how everything gets wrapped up nicely, and I feel like this is definitely a movie where there really aren't any loose ends at all.
I couldn't find any.
It's pretty much all a big...
Or at least any that matter.
At the cost of...
Any that make you be like, oh, well, that movie wasn't...
that make you be like, you know...
Oh, can we talk about the hilarious... I'm not afraid of you anymore, Freddy.
Ah, no.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what? Jim Carrey playing the child version of himself.
Yeah, she's dragging him away. Yeah. Wait, quick, we have to go to a place where they can't find it. Hold on, Freddy, I'm not afraid of you. Oh,
and
geez.
He like, immediately grabs his arm and twists it behind his back.
What I thought was funnier than that came about a minute later when just their play smothering one another.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
these so children. Morbid.
It's okay, Mom, we're just playing.
Well, hold on. What about fucking beating a dead pigeon with a hammer? That's not morbid.
That was pretty morbid. I'm glad they didn't show that. The camera looked like it was about to show it, but then it cut to a different shot.
Did anybody see Orphan?
I did, yeah.
No. Is that the one with...
Where, that little kid who is like a Russian girl that...
Okay. I was about to say the ending. I was like, is that the one where...
Yes, it is. Is it Patrick Wilson?
I don't know.
No.
Oh, I never seen
Vera
you talking
Farmiga
about that.
Yeah,
it's
that's
the woman.
Because they show that thing happen that you're referencing.
Yeah, they kill a pigeon.
Yes.
While I was watching this, I couldn't remember. I was like, shit, is this where they actually kill the pigeon? Well, he does, but you don't see it. And
wait, do you mean literally a pigeon or another thing in the movie?
They kill a pigeon in the movie. She like takes a rock and smashes it in his...
She also uses a hammer on something else in the movie that they show.
She uses a hammer on a lot of things. But I was getting confused. I was like, crap, I don't want to see this pigeon get bludgeoned. And you kind of see it, but not really. Not in as grotesque a fashion as you do in Orphan.
Yeah.
So anyway, Eternal Sunshine. I think... You know, for as funny as it is, it's a very bittersweet movie.
Mm. Oh man, I wouldn't even call it bittersweet. There's bitter, but that wasn't the ending I got from it. That was
it's bittersweet
moral.
In that like it gives you
saying
lots of hope.
Yeah, there's a lot of highs and lows throughout. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it doesn't necessarily end in a bittersweet way. But
no, well, I think it does actually.
You do?
Because, like I said earlier, the implications of the end are that they continue to meet and erase one another. And so that compresses years of love and happiness and hatred and despair. It condenses that all into about 5 seconds of on-screen time.
The thing I love about this movie and also the movie Her is that it really strips down relationships to like their core.
Makes you question what constitutes a relationship.
And like you really get to see in this movie, especially, you really get to see all those stupid little moments that like you think don't matter, but really constitute like what being in a relationship is. And it sucks because it also shows you the not so fairy tale side of it where like, you know, you get into these dregs and things suck and it's like, you kind of have to weigh things. And it's just a very visceral way to look at it, despite the fact that it's a strange, very existential sort of movie, you know?
I have a question for all of you guys.
What's that?
Would you rather...
we haven't gotten to the challenge.
No. would you rather go through life repeating one doomed relationship, getting to experience, you know, the kind of euphoric high at the start and then go to the lows and...
you know, go through that over and over again, or be in one relationship forever that just may sit in a low for the rest of it, but may be happy.
That last one sounds pretty depressing. I'd probably go.
But it could be good.
I don't know. I think that last one's a little too undefined.
Yeah. The last one, it sounds like you just kind of settle.
To make any sort of choice.
Or no, I'm just saying, like, you know, would you rather take your chance?
Are you saying, like, a normal relationship is the second one?
But you only get one.
Yeah. Would you rather take a chance with, you know, a normal relationship? Or would you rather be guaranteed
the
highs every so often, but also the lows?
But you would only ever remember one high and one low every time, because you'd be erasing it every time. Oh, my gosh.
It's the same. It's not about the memory. It's about the experience.
The choices are the same.
Well, if you kept repeating it, you wouldn't remember any of it. I don't know. That's a toughie. Like, I hate the idea of staying in one relationship that just goes on forever, especially if it's just kind of, you know, sort of lukewarm. At least even with the bad lows, at least you're kind of like, you know, it's really a memory. It's really an imprinting. Like, I feel like with a relationship that just sort of stagnates, there is no memory. You know, you just kind of like, oh, we kind of just chilled like every other night. You know, it was cool, I guess.
Yeah. So sorry, I meant to bring this up earlier, but Steven mentioned Inception.
Oh, I'm sorry. Good question, Michael. I'm going to give you 4 points.
And so I liked Inception, but I think one of the huge problems with Inception is that, Christopher Nolan's idea of the dream world is a very corporate structured envisioning. You know, there's like spinning hallways and everything, but, it still all feels very grounded in reality.
Right.
It's directly influenced by the level above, like the dream level above, you know.
I understand, but
I'm agreeing with you. Okay, I'm just saying that it's
that structure that you're talking about.
I'm just saying everything seems too real in the Inception dream world. Whereas in this, what Michel Gondry is so great at is going wild with his dreamlike ideas.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the first time when he's in the dream, he goes in the doctor's office and talks to the doctor, and the sound's kind of distorted.
Yeah.
He goes into it a second time, and the doctor's face is covered in skin.
Oh, if you've ever lucid dreamed, that does happen. Never look into a mirror if you're lucid dreaming.
Oh, really?
Because that happened. I looked into a mirror and that's terrifying. I demon yelled at myself.
The first time that's awful.
Another time I did it, my teeth fell out.
Dreaming was just the best, because I remember when I lucid dreamed as a kid, I was like, always just, I'm in a dream right now. I can do whatever I want. X-Wing! And then an X-Wing would appear, and I just fly around and shoot down TIE fighters.
I thought you were about to say ecstasy, and I was like, this little six-year-old sitting there dancing with glow sticks.
I like that James is so uncreative that in his dreams he needs drugs for like anything fun to happen.
God, my dream's so boring. I wish I had some drugs. Hey, some drugs! What was I going to say? Yeah, I agree, Ryan. I think that if you look at Chris Nolan's rendition of Dreamworld and Michel Gondry's version of Dreamworld, I think that Michel Gondry does a great job of capturing the fluidity of dreams, the always changing, never the same.
How the locations, you can turn a corner and be in a completely different state.
And then just the strange, bizarre occurrences that happen is just like you can't explain, and then you don't really think about it. But it's just the watching it, even, you know, you could put it on mute and still feel like, wow, this is very dreamlike.
Yeah.
I want to give huge props to Kubrick's ability to keep all of this straightness. Well, I guess Kaufman wrote it, so he deserves a lot of the credit as well.
Mm-hmm.
But and huge props to the editing as well.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic editing.
Just the way that they use symbolism and imagery. I combine those words together. Embolism, which is something completely different.
Patent it. Oh, is that already
a
word?
No, that's a thing. Yeah, that's like a medical term.
Patent pending. Ryan, before you continue, I'm going to give you 5 points for an excellent point and also a comparison of different directing styles.
Thank you.
Well, George Lucas.
Don't even.
That's all I had. That's all
You're
I
just
had.
Pandering to yourself now.
Okay, Michael, you get 1 point for jinxing.
Actually, here's the big pandering to myself that I've been holding in this entire time. Guys, listen to the Bon Jovi song, You Want to Make a Memory. Perfectly fits this movie.
Sweet. Michael, you just went up 2 points.
Nice.
Bribery will get you everywhere, gentlemen.
No? Michael handed him a vanilla Coke. Just saying.
No, I'm good. I was bad.
I don't remember if I had anything else.
How sad was that woman in the office?
You don't remember because you don't remember
the puppy,
or just
the dog box.
I lost my train of thought.
Okay.
How about that, guys?
What?
The like most depressing thing in the whole movie. The shot of the woman with the box of dog stuff, just wanting to erase the memory of something she loved.
Now that's sad because that can't cyclically come back. That
or what if she was
dead.
Really just like a messed up person and that was the name of her kid and she just fed it out of a dog bowl? Even more depressing now.
That
huh?
is an that's the movie I want to watch.
All right, really quick, I have a question for you guys. If this technology existed today, would you use it?
I don't have anything in my life that I would want to erase yet.
Yeah.
You'd have to ask me. If I had something like that,
I feel like it would have to be something really messed up for me to even consider erasing. Like, bad relationships are one thing, and it definitely right after when you're just like, every day's like a freaking tax on your soul. It's just like, yeah, you wish you could forget, but if you move past it, you know, there are things that human beings can see that they should forget. Like just horrific things, but I think it's a little selfish to use this technology on relationships.
Ratings?
A+.
No,
we'll skip right. I'm scared.
Really?
Yeah. Oh wow. Okay. Are you keeping track?
Mm-hmm. I'll go next. We did mention I was the one who hadn't seen this movie, and I somehow had managed to not learn anything about the plot in the 10 years that this movie's been out, which was great for me watching it today.
It's one of those movies, the less you know about, the better.
Yeah, and it paid off. A+. Flawless movie.
I'm going to give it an A.
I will concur with Ryan. I'll give it a solid A. I brought this movie to the table because it had been forever since I've seen it. I love the all of the cinematography, all of the editing, the acting, all of the actors are great. You've got Mark Ruffalo.
Hulk.
Yeah, you've got the Hulk. Don't make him mad. You've got Jim Carrey acting a serious role, which I love seeing. The Mask.
And the Riddler.
His only other serious role.
Yeah. And
The Majestic.
27. Number 27.
Yeah. Shut up. 23.
23.
23. Shut up, man.
No, you mean Yes Man. That was his other.
All right. Yes, A.
You meant Fun with Dick and Jane.
I did see that.
Very
one.
Serious movie.
Very serious movie.
Seriously boring.
Since we are half glass full kind of people here, it rounds up to an A+.
All righty. We've been having too many of those lately. We got to pick
some. We got to watch some
shitty movies. I'll pick a horrible movie, I'm soon.
Do you pick good movies?
Oh.
I just said I'll pick a horrible movie.
Yeah, I know. I don't. That's not a change in your pattern. No, I like
guys. I'm the wild card.
Andy wrote in, says, "Why did Patrick take her back to the frozen lake? Why not the Elijah Woods?"
Give him a point. Give him points,
Andy.
That was awful.
You son of a bitch. You're getting.
I
you're
really.
I'm gonna be generous. I'll give you 3 points for that awful pun because I love awful puns.
Andy, that's a great pun.
No, that the worse a pun is, the better it is.
Exactly. Did you guys like it, how Jim's performance carried the movie?
No, I think all the actors did a pretty good job.
Michael, you're going to get -1 point.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
It was too smoothly worked in, that pun.
You might want to give...
Yeah, you didn't deserve both of those bribe points. I'm sorry.
You might want to give a point to this other guy who wrote in, Zhang.
Zhang? How do you spell that, Zhang?
Zhang. The subject line of his email is in brackets. Hello, I just send you a proposal. Did you got it? End bracket.
Was there a body?
No, there's no body to that email.
For decapitating that email, I'm going to give Zhang 17 points.
Wow.
I think Zhang's going to...
Zhang's going to walk away with it. Zhang, what are we watching next week?
Django Unchained.
Michael, Django Unchained. God damn it, Michael, you win that point back.
Yes.
Zhang, we did get your proposal. We're going to send it right back to you. Right back.
Thanks
at,
for
right
writing
back,
in.
Right back at you, buddy. Yes, thank you.
FUARock@gmail.com, right?
Correct. .com.
.com.
Or tweet us at FUARockPodcast.
Yeah. Okay. So, I was very unprepared this week, as I usually am, for the challenge, the challenge, the challenge, the challenge, the challenge, the challenge, the challenge.
Oh,
oh. Challenge, 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 challenge,
challenge.
I was thinking about this during the podcast. Maybe I should have given you guys more time about this, but the challenge for this week, you're going to have to think on your toes a little bit.
Oh, jeez.
Is you don't have to go first if you don't want to, but you will get a couple brownie points if you do.
Challenge.
Okay, so the whole premise of this, Michael, turn.
Wait, are the points actually applicable towards brownies?
If you want.
If you want to, if you want to forfeit them in lieu of picking a movie.
Okay, so the challenge for this week, as you know, this movie was about relationships and So the challenge for this week will be to come up with the most colorful, wonderful, and yet incredibly flawed significant other that you can come up with. But here's the catch. You have to come up with one reason why you would want to forget them forever.
What?
You have to come up with a significant other that is almost perfect in every way and super nice and colorful and stuff like that. But what's that one thing that would make you want to forget the whole relationship happened?
Oh, gotcha.
This is a kind of deep question. I'm questioning myself here.
All right, Michael,
When you say colorful, does she have to be like...
Interpret it as you will.
Okay.
You racist bastard.
Not what I was going to say. I was thinking a professional finger painter, which I will go with. Because that career would attract me to them. I would see them finger painting there on the street. I would lock eyes with her. We would both fall madly. I don't know what I offer her. I don't know what I bring to the table, and I feel insecure throughout the entire relationship.
You can never know. You can never know.
I never do know.
So you really are the Joel in this relationship.
Yeah. I have no idea what she could possibly see in me, but she is such a vibrant personality. She goes to Africa to do drum circles with orphans every year. Hey, can you let me do my challenge, Steven? Thank you. So she finger paints, and she actually finger paints on the heads of the drums that she does drum circles with the orphans in Africa. And she takes me with her the first time before the first erasure, and then after that, we kind of phone it in. She's a dynamite in bed. She is just absolutely hilarious. Never a dull moment with her. Mm-hmm. She just makes me feel, you know, complete.
So why would you
want to... And here's the thing. Even though I have no idea why she's with me and I'm insecure about myself throughout the whole thing, it's not her that's making me feel that way. It's me, because she makes me feel more than adequate all the time.
Right.
Full of compliments. The reason I want to forget her...
Okay. Imagine I'm the doctor. Imagine I'm Howard the doc. And tell me why you would want to forget this person.
Like, I don't know. There were like a couple times where she didn't shave her legs. And just, it was gross, man. It was like super gross.
Dig deep.
And then like later in the relationship, she gets even more comfortable with me and just lets her armpits flow. And I'm like, you don't even try anymore to be sexy for me. And then she starts gaining weight, like a lot of weight, like over like 9 months, just like a ton of weight. And her body starts changing and she gets all pissy. And I can't deal with that. So I'm going to leave her and I'm going to erase her from my memory, because she had changed. She became so moody. Mm. You know, she was throwing up every morning. I was like, look, I know you're big, but don't be bulimic. Get on a treadmill.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Can I ask you a couple questions?
Sure.
One, did you meet this person in a foreign country? Specifically Europe. Did you meet this person in Europe?
Western or Eastern? Does that matter?
Western.
Yes, I did.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Also, have you used prophylactic at all?
I've never heard of that before.
That also makes sense. Ryan, let's move on to you.
Okay. Well, So I met this girl.
Mm-hmm. What's she like?
Just over a year ago. She's just the most adorable little Mexican girl that you can imagine. You know,
are we allowed to call her that?
That's what she is.
That sounds a little racist. Look, he said colorful. He didn't mean, like, you know, a brown chick.
Okay,
for
cutest
sure.
little beaner girl you can imagine.
So. That's better. That's better. Thank you.
Continue, please. No more interruptions.
She has just the most beautiful dark hair and big, gorgeous eyes and beautiful... big, ever-present
tits.
Smile.
Michael, please.
Can I do my challenge, Michael?
I want his girl now.
She has huge tracts of land.
I just want his girl now.
She wears a lot of very colorful sundresses. She's very confident and outgoing, but she's extremely, extremely leal.
Leal.
It's like loyal, but it sounds fancier. Oh. It's lazier, actually. Loyal. Loyal.
You find like you're trying to say loyal, but you're falling asleep at the same time.
She sticks by me no matter what. And, you know, we enjoy going out together. We enjoy seeing movies and plays and eating meals together. And we enjoy... staying at home and getting drunk together and
that's nice.
Making
that's
out nice. All night.
So
can I ask you, is she a dog?
Getting drunk together and making out?
I don't know what you do. You
may be let me ask you, why would you come to me, Howard the Duck, and want to erase this person from your memory? She sounds wonderful.
See, she's a little colorful, and by that I mean... she swears like a sailor.
I see.
She uses all kinds of foul words that I don't even know the meanings of.
Is that where you picked up Beaner?
That's the least of what I picked up from her.
Is that where you learned Plane Drifter?
Dude, come on.
That's not cool.
That's
Hey, what did I say about interruptions?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
You guys
it.
Are both wearing
I
the
mean,
same color shirt.
This
come on.
Podcast has an explicit tag, but I still don't think it's appropriate. You know, you can't say that kind of stuff. I don't even know. It doesn't sound like she's speaking any known language, but people seem to be offended everywhere we go.
Do you find that you were embarrassed by her in public?
Yes. Yes, I was.
I see.
I'm so ashamed to admit it, but yes, I was embarrassed by her.
Has she ever spoken English to you?
No.
Okay.
No, not once.
Okay. Yes, Michael.
Does she know she's in a relationship with you?
You know, I couldn't say. I really couldn't say.
This raises further questions, but I think we're going to have to move on to Steven.
Okay. Who?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes. Steven, excuse me. I don't know why I, Howard the Duck, agreed to do this group therapy session. We really are stretched for time, though, so forgive me for intrusion of personal
I'm a man
whatever's.
Of simple taste, so okay. I'll keep this quick.
So.
My girl. No, it's not. I looked at you like it was. I thought about it. My girl works at my local grocery store. I see her probably a couple times a week.
Mm.
I always
try to
go to her cash register. You know what I'm saying? I literally
number nine, the express lane.
Gotta double bag it.
But yeah, I mean, I've only ever seen her in her work uniform. She's pretty cute, but the trigger, I guess, that was like, you know, I think I like this girl is every time I'm done there. She goes, "Hey, have a nice day." And I'm like, "That's one of my favorite Bon Jovi songs." Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow. She knows
and then
you. She knows
I was
you.
Like, "She knows me." And then you know, occasionally my watch, my ringtone goes off. She's like, "Hey, is that the Power Rangers?" I was like, "Oh my gosh, so many people just say it's Kim Possible." And then
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Good.
It's pretty obvious why you broke up with her, actually.
Yeah, well, because one time one of her friends said, I think that sounds like Kim Possible. And she goes, it kind of does. And now it's over. She don't know me.
That is a shame. That is definitely a shame.
That sounds like something that could really happen.
I was about to ask, is this a real girl at the Advance across
as far,
the street?
As far as the, hey, that sounds like Power Rangers, that has happened. Yeah. The cash register.
But have people with also a girl? Said Kim Possible?
Yes, and Kim Possible.
With an attractive girl?
Yes.
With a girl you would, you know what, I won't make our explicit tag any worse.
Well, that is a good reason. I think that's of all of these guys, that's probably the best reason to break up with somebody.
To confuse Power Rangers for Kim Possible,
I don't know. I think a 9-month downward spiral of
hygiene.
You know
what? You said it earlier. I think you're the one who needs to double bag it.
You know, she always offered to like double bag the groceries. Actually, that was really nice. Yeah.
Well, they don't do plastic anymore, so.
And then stick them in her trunk.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of weird. Oh. I was like, I need to take those groceries home. Why are you
okay
taking them? Oh, I know what you get.
Steven, I'm going to give you... Steuben, I'm going to give you You're 7 points. Steuben. I'm going to give you 7 points for giving me a story that I can actually believe would happen. Michael, I'm going to give you... No, you can't give me another Coke. You already gave me that one. I'm going to give you 6 points. I'm going to give you 6 points. You lose a couple because you didn't wrap it before you tapped it. I'm sorry.
We were monogamous. We were made of mahogany.
From the planet Melchior 7.
Just remember, children, play it safe. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't even know what that means.
Don't smother your childhood friends with pillows like in this movie.
Ryan, because you're showing little to no interest in learning a second language, I'm going to give you 7 points. You win. By one point you win.
I like how we got the same amount of points, but like I had the most uncreative story ever. You very vividly described her, and I was like, she's cute.
You all had your own merits.
She's cute.
Was I due to win anyway? Yes. Is this the last one? Okay.
So. We catered to you.
Are we already at the last round?
Yeah. Anna was tired of Michael always winning my challenges.
I have the date on my watch. I look at my watch for everything. Hey, Steven, you're free next Friday? Yeah, I'm good.
I still don't know how the date would help you in this.
I don't
situation.
Know either, but I look at my watch and I always know. Oh, okay. I know it's weird, but I'm like...
I have a follow-up question to that, Steuben. What's your pick, Ryan?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to mention that I myself came in dead last with 2 points, Andy with 3, and Zhang actually beat out all of you punks with 17 for decapitating his
name. What were our totals?
Steven had 10, Ryan had 13, and you, Michael, had 12.
Let me send Zhang our proposal for what movie he wants to watch.
He's that was the movie. Proposal. He was proposing the movie.
Just send him a picture of a wedding ring. That should be it.
That would be hilarious.
Think anybody's ever proposed that way? They get on their knees, pull out their iPhone, and just show a picture of a wedding ring. Will you marry me?
And then like a gif of a dude getting on one knee over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, they're just sitting on a couch together and just hands them the gif.
Guys, I have a question. Was this movie just a gif?
It was a gif.
It was a gif. Thank you, Michelle Gondry.
For next week, I would like to watch... one of my favorite sci-fi films of all time.
Star Wars.
One of my favorite films of all time.
Star Wars.
Sunshine.
More sunshine.
I was literally going to seek that out on my own within the next like week or so.
You should know better.
I know nothing about this movie, but I've heard of it.
It's Danny Boyle.
Should I know anything about this movie before going into it?
Do what?
Should I know anything about it? Because with this movie, I prefer not.
You should wear shades. I actually know nothing about it other than that. The name and that it's supposed to be good.
50.
Did you just spit at me?
50?
Can you stop, like, just loogieing on the mic right now? This is ridiculous.
The audience knows they like it.
Are you broken?
I'm making a beat out of...
It's okay.
Wait, so these guys haven't seen it. Steven, have you seen it?
Nope.
To be a little broken. None of us have seen it.
Well done.
I'm Everybody's very broken. Surprised, but also very pleased that I will be able to D-Rock all three of you from this...
are you ready to D-Rock? Is a great movie.
In this
Burbank!
Live.
Burbank. So yeah, please write us in, fuarock@gmail.com. I said it quickly. I just wanted to enunciate a little better.
We are also at fuarock podcast.
On Twitter,
on
www.twitter.com.
That girl had a nice pair of twits.
So yeah, I think that's pretty much going to wrap it up. Steven, any more news on the hyperdrive front?
As I look to my left, I see Michael Ornelas. Behind Michael Ornelas, I see four boxes of amazing film equipment that I just got for Hyperdrive, which means our production value is about to go way up.
I want to submit to readers that or listeners, if they can name who is to my left and digitally recreate this table with a guess, and what beverage is in front of all of us, and what the murder weapon was, I will send you a free DVD.
Wait.
Nice. Why DVD?
Who's getting murdered?
No. I like how Ryan and I had both had questions, and you were just like, nice.
Nice.
Let me, okay.
No, I think that's a great
okay,
idea.
Let me just say this. Yeah. It's Will.
Will.
Okay. Well, I guess I should have known.
Yeah. And then last bit of Hyperdrive for the month of February, we're going to be doing some Valentine's Day themed videos. So keep an eye out for those.
And for the podcast for February, we are going to be celebrating the Subway holiday of February. That's right.
Actually, isn't it January now?
It is January now, but you know what? We planned this months ago before they changed it to January.
We had our shit together before the Subway had their shit together.
Yeah.
You know, the government can change these holidays all they want, but the spirit of February is going to live on in our hearts, and we're going to keep the tradition alive. So.
And just to be clear, February is the month where... You can buy any footlong sandwich for just $5.
So for those of you who are very into fast food cuisine, just keep that in mind.
But also, we can pick any movie that we want to watch for the podcast. That means the person who chooses for our next cycle can either pick a movie they themselves have not seen, that none of us have seen, and they can pick movies that all of us have seen before, and we just really want to rewatch and talk about and bring that discussion, just so that way some of the movies that are off our radar or we really want to be on the radar but can't because we've all seen them, we give them a chance to bring some of our favorites to the table.
Everybody got that?
Good. I didn't exactly say that in a tactful manner, but...
No, I think just play it back a couple of times, yeah. And you'll get it.
Ryan will splice and dice it, right?
Sweet action.
It's like I'm there.
That's going to do it for this week's episode. Let's go around. Let's go around the table for.
I guess we're going to start the episode over again, guys. My alarm went off. Oh,
dang. Let's go around the table for one last roll call.
I am Jooms McDoodles.
McNoodles.
McNoodles.
I'm Steven Zarita.
Stupid Suburban. I am Michael Ornelas.
Michael Ornelas.
You got to come up with something.
Come at me, bros.
And I'm Ryan Evans. And thank you once again for joining us for
From Under
a Rock.